Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. Robert Ryan has always been, if not near the top, certainly in the top 20 actors. If a movie of his comes on, I will watch it again for the 15th time and seek him out. And always thought he was an interesting type on screen. The Lives of Robert Ryan by my guest, J.R. Jones, who is the film editor and a frequent reviewer for the Chicago Reader, is an absolute revelation to me, J.R. I think this book, this biography, is beyond compelling, and part of it is I didn't know anything about Robert Ryan. It's a very thing. You know, you like someone on screen, it's a very visceral thing. This guy is as interesting as anybody I can remember coming out of Hollywood. You must feel the same.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about him, I think, is that he was so unlike the characters he's remembered playing. I mean, he's tended to play these violent, sometimes racist characters, and yet in real life he was a sort of tireless civil rights campaigner and
He started his own school. He was an incredibly private guy. He never mixed in the, you know, Hollywood party scene, that's for sure. You write in the book, and I'll read some of this, even his close friends found him a puzzle. Director Harold Kennedy echoed many when he called Ryan, quote, the most private person I have ever known. He was born and raised in Chicago. Another revelation to me.
Right, yeah. I think that actually informed a lot of his politics in a way, because even though he was a liberal, idealistic liberal, he was raised in this sort of Chicago machine world, where he understood the levers of power and how people acquired power and protected it. And so he sort of brought that to his own activism.
Tell me about his parents, and tell me one thing beyond another revelation to me, that his mother used to work for the Tribune. I mean, virtually, J.R., on every page in this book, you know, and we'll get to the near the end, the John Lennon connection, which is another astonishment. His mother worked for the Tribune. His father was a sort of successful businessman.
Right. His father's family lived in Lockport, Illinois, along the canal. And the brothers eventually all moved to Chicago and founded this construction company, Ryan Construction, which did a very lucrative business doing subway and sewer tunnel construction for the city. Five brothers, all of them large guys, 6'4", 6'6", 6'8", inches tall. And so Ryan's father was the one that sort of handled the political connections for the firm. He was the one that knew Ed Kelly.
The Kelly machine,
Who was connected to all of that. And so that was sort of his role in the company.
There's a sad thing. He winds up an only child.
Mm-hmm. Yes, his brother died of pneumonia when the boy was 5 years old. And I guess Robert would have been about 7 at that point.
Well, he says, and you quote him as saying in the book, and this is kind of, to me, kind of very chilling, and it certainly is something that informed his life. He said, you cannot know the difficulties that attend an only child. Two big grown-ups are beaming at him all the time, even when he isn't there. It's a feeling of being watched that lingers throughout life. That, in some ways, is a terrifying line to me. Do you think, how did that inform his life?
Well, he certainly became a very reclusive person and a very private person. And he actually, that played a role in his work as well. He said at one point that an actor's private life should be totally private. Nobody should know anything about me except what they see on the screen. Mm. And so I think he protected his privacy and his family's privacy as best he could in that.
Well, he married well. He married a woman who was flirting with the acting trade and then became a novelist. Talk about her.
Well, Jessica Cadwallader was born in Los Angeles, raised in Berkeley. Her family were Quakers. She was raised as a Quaker. And was a very idealistic woman and sort of became, in a way, his political conscience as they got married and spent 33 years together. She started out as an actress, but she suffered from stage fright. She wasn't really suited to it. She was an intensely private, very, very private person and wasn't really suited to that kind of a career. When he started getting some success as an actor, and they were able to pay the bills, she decided she wanted to write, which was her second love, and ironically was his first love. He had started out wanting to be a writer and become an actor.
Did he want to be a playwright? Was that what he had his eye on?
He did. I mean, he was a theater buff in college and loved Shakespeare.
He went to Dartmouth. He was in the same fraternity, and I hate, ladies and gentlemen, if every one of these things sounds like a great surprise to me. It was. One of his fraternity brothers was Nelson Rockefeller.
Right.
And he went to Dartmouth. His parents sort of wanted him to stick around, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't want to let go of him, and he wanted to get out as quickly as he could. And he especially did not want to get sucked into the family business. He did not want to wind up working at Ryan Construction for the rest of his life, which is what his father certainly wanted. And so there was a great deal of friction between father and son over that.
I think, and tell me I'm wrong, I think it took a lot of courage for this kid who went to public schools here, then he went to Loyola Academy, and then he made this decision to leave the family and go to Dartmouth. And his father, I'm not going to say he seems like an overbearing guy, but certainly a guy who was used to getting his own way. Am I wrong in assuming that the young Robert Ryan at 17, 18 years old was courageous to try to make that break?
Well, it certainly wasn't. He certainly hadn't been raised with any sort of impetus to become a performer or an actor.
Yeah, I would think that would be the last thing his parents would want.
No, absolutely not. I mean, his mother said when he announced after his father's death that he was going to move out to Los Angeles and try to become an actor, she said, "You can't act. What are you talking about?"
Yeah, yeah. So when did he get the bug? When did he get the notion? I know he did think that he, because he's smart, that he could become a playwright.
Well, a friend of his in Chicago asked him to take a part in some amateur production, and he had never acted before until he was 28 years old. And he said at one point, as soon as I got on the stage, he'd spent all this time trying to figure out, what am I going to do with myself? What is my purpose in life? He'd worked all these manual labor jobs, and he had this education from Dartmouth that wasn't doing anything for him. And he said the first time he got on the stage, he just said, "This is it." And he immediately realized that's what he was cut out to do.
Do you, you've seen and observed thousands of actors in person and on stage. The notion of his being a natural, does that wash with you?
He obviously had some native ability, but I think he probably got where he got by hard work.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a Chicago work ethic, and he really applied himself to what he was doing. And, his wife remembers seeing him act when he first arrived at the Reinhardt School in California, and she wrote to her mother saying, I've met this man. I really like him a lot. He's the worst actor I've ever seen in my life."
I forgot that line in here. No. I'm talking to J.R. Jones, the author of a fascinating biography, The Lives of Robert Ryan, about a local boy. And why do you think, before we take a break, why is he not long been identified as a Chicagoan? This confounds me, because Chicago will grab onto anybody who spent 5 minutes here and will call him a Chicagoan. Why has that never happened, do you think?
Well, partly because he's been so forgotten in general, I suppose. That probably has a lot to do with it. And I think also when he left town, he had been in this sort of suffocating situation with his parents. And I think once he got out of Chicago, he was never terribly eager to come back. He would, come back occasionally to promote movies and visit relatives. But,
he did not seem, in your book, there does not seem to be one self-promotional, and especially talking about it in this celebrity-obsessed age, there seems to be not one self-promotional gene in this guy.
No, and that worked to his detriment, I think, in his career, because he was just not willing to schmooze people the way others were.
We'll talk more about the life of the lives of Robert Ryan, because there is I'm Irish too, the dark moods and booze comes into this, but his film career is something, and I want to bounce off you, J.R. Jones, what I think is his finest performance, and you can tell me what's better. We'll be right back. J.R. Jones resurrects Robert Ryan, the great actor in The Lives of Robert Ryan. He discusses and gives real, real depth to his Chicago connection, which is not inconsiderable. It may not be, Tom Dreesen-like, but it is not inconsiderable. And also his politics. I mean, you got to love a guy who would campaign for Edley Stevenson, a star of some magnitude. You would also, his whole civil rights involvement that seems kind of spurred by Harry Belafonte, right?
Yeah, I think probably that's the case because he probably wasn't as aware of that movement when he was living in California because, you know, the civil rights movement was in the South and the northern industrial cities.
Sure.
Probably didn't have the same fervor that it
Well, and with some other families of starting their own school, and this is a fascinating guy. Okay, my favorite role of his, how many movies was he in?
About 74. Something like that.
Oh, that stuns me.
Over 30 years.
All right, my favorite role of his, because it's also my favorite role of William Holden, and William Holden is also The Wild Bunch. Those two guys in that movie, I'm not going to say they changed my life, Jared Jones, but I find those two roles magnificent.
Yeah, that was a tough movie for him because I think he understood that it was a good film and he admired it as a film, but it was so violent for the time. I mean, at the time, there were like 170 people that get killed in this movie, and it was the first movie where you actually saw like bullets like tearing through people and like, tearing out of people.
Right.
I mean, it was just, for the time, it was horribly, horribly violent. Now it would be nothing at all, of course, but back then people were just appalled by it. And this was coming in the wake of 20 years of peace activism with the United World Federalists and the National Committee for a Sane Nuclear Policy, and he sort of found himself in this position where he was known for advocating peace, and he was in this incredibly violent movie.
Well, he also played, I mean, that's the thing about Ryan, he played roles that were so far away from the real guy, but he also, there were some dark moods with this guy, weren't there?
Yeah, I mean, he had an alcohol problem that he sometimes had under control and sometimes didn't, and suffered from depressions, black Irish moods, he called them. And, his eldest son said sometimes he would, he liked to have a good time. He liked to enjoy himself. And then sometimes he would just sit in his room brooding.
Sounds just like me, frankly. Sounds just like me. He did have also, and another thing that I greatly admire about him is he really had an affection for the stage. Unlike many actors who just, I don't know if William Holden did any stage work in his later career after he was successful, but Ryan did.
Yeah, he loved being able to perform. I don't know if it was necessarily the stage itself, but the fact that he could do more interesting material on the stage. He played O'Neil. Coriolanus,
but he also,
in New York City, and he did Antony and Cleopatra with Katharine Hepburn, and he was in a production of the Front Page, which was the first revival of the Front Page in about 30 years, which was or actually 40 years, which was a big hit on Broadway, and he was in a really acclaimed production of Long Day's Journey Into Night, playing the patriarch, O'Neil's patriarch, in that play.
Rate his career. He does seem to me, J.R. Jones, and you make a great point of it in your magisterial biography, The Lives of Robert Ryan. Rate his movie career for me, could you? I mean, is it Holden-esque? Is it, there were some lousy movies, no question. No question. But his best work stands up, does it not?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he probably made, out of the 70 movies, at one point they were giving him an award for making his 80th movie, which was obviously they had the count wrong because he hadn't made 80 movies. But he told Charles Chaplin at the time, I've made 80 movies and 70 of them were dogs. And that's a little harsh. I think maybe probably 20 of them are worth seeing.
But he was also, I like the notion of the Chicago work ethic that was drummed into him because of his family and where he grew up, and he was a working actor,
right?
Without question.
Well, he wanted to work as much as he could. I think that's true of most actors. I think the reason they get into so much trouble is because they don't have anything to do. I mean, most actors, even who make movies, they make one movie a year, maybe two, and what do they do the rest of the time?
Right, right. Well, this guy is a little richer life, I think, than someone like Tom Cruise or what I imagine Tom Cruise's life to be. You are having a celebration on May 31st at the Music Box Theater. Tell me about that.
Let's see. We're going to screen. This is going to be a week from today, I guess, at the Music Box at noon.
At noon.
And I'm going to be introducing The Setup, which is this terrific film noir boxing film.
That's a good movie, too. Yeah.
One of the best films he made, in which he plays a good guy.
Because he knew how to box too.
He did. He was an intercollegiate boxing
for 4 years
at Dartmouth, for 3 years actually, and and so he knew how to handle himself in the ring, and that actually helped his career. So we're going to be showing the setup, and we're going to be having a Q&A afterwards with myself and Matthew Hoffman from Park Ridge Classics Film, and also Lisa Ryan, his youngest child, who's going to be coming to town for the event.
What did his kids think of the book? He has three.
I don't know. They seem to like it. Possibly they're being polite. I don't.
Oh, stop it! Well, I just loved it, and it came to you before I let you go. It came to you in a sort of interesting way. I mean, you'd heard of Ryan, you'd been interested in him, but you gained this unexpected insight in 2009. What happened in 2009?
Well, I write for the Chicago Reader. I'm the film editor there, and Michael Miner, who's a senior editor there.
And a great newspaper man.
Right. Got a hold of a letter that Ryan had written at some point in his life. We don't really know when it was written, but he had written this 20-page memoir about growing up in Chicago. And Lisa passed this along to a friend of hers in Evanston, who passed it along to Mike, and Mike passed it along to me. And that was the impetus for this story, The Actor's Letter, that ran in the Reader about a week or two before Ryan's centennial.
And now, is there going to be an excerpt of the book in this week's?
Yes, there's going to be a second excerpt that basically covers Ryan's involvement with the Eugene McCarthy presidential campaign, starting out in January and following him to New Hampshire, where he campaigned for McCarthy, and then to the Democratic National Convention, which he came back to Chicago to attend as a McCarthy delegate.
Jared, this is your first book, right?
It is.
There better be more, because this is some accomplishment, my friend.
Thank you. Thank
There's
you so
also
much.
A part near the end that connects Robert Ryan with John and Yoko, John Lennon and Yoko Ono. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to buy the book. Jared, it's a pleasure to finally meet you. I've admired your work for a great long time.
Thank you.
And this is a testament to your abilities. That's all I can say.
Well, thank you very much.
It is The Lives of Robert Ryan by J.R. Jones. Do yourself a favor and get this book. We'll be right back.